Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. What struck me this week as I went back and read the Transfiguration account was the reaction of the disciples in verses 6 and 7. So I'll just repeat them to you. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us and this account of the Transfiguration. We pray that you would bless us as we meditate on this really important event, what it means to us, and how it can help dispel the fears in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many things we could focus on in this Transfiguration account. We could focus on the bright, shining vision of Jesus Christ there on the mountain. We could focus on the presence of the Old Testament figures of Moses and Elijah. We could focus on the powerful voice of God speaking, thundering from the heavens. So why have I decided to focus on the fearfulness of the disciples? Well, it may be partly that when I first read this account, I'd just come back from the LCA Synod and was feeling a bit fearful about the state of the church or the future of the church or something like that. It may have been that I was about to step foot into my office and open my emails and I was a bit fearful about what was waiting for me and what I'd missed and what work I had to do and things like that. Maybe a few other reasons as well in my life at the moment. But for some reason, I was drawn to these disciples, drawn to them cowering away in fear as this wonderful event took place. I think the main reason I was drawn to these disciples is that all the other aspects of this text, what you could see is, the more wonderful aspects and exciting aspects and interesting aspects have always stood out to me. But what I recognize this time is that right in the middle of all that happening are these cowering, fear-filled disciples over on the side. What's going on? Terrified is the word that the translation uses. They were terrified. So this morning I want us to think about them especially and us and our own fears, facing our Lord and facing our future with our Lord's help. Facing our fears, facing our Lord and facing our future with our Lord's help. Now, fear is a universal human experience. And maybe this is also something that drew me to them and their experience. Fear is a universal human experience, and there are as many fears and phobias as there are people, probably, in the world. There are really common fears, common phobias that we know about and we talk about. Claustrophobia, fear of enclosed spaces. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Acrophobia, fear of heights. So I suppose arachnophobia is the fear of seeing spiders at heights. Not sure if you have that. But there are social phobias, there's medical phobias, there's phobias to do with the natural environment, lightning, thunder, for some people that triggers things. All sorts of fears and phobias that people have. Public speaking is another common phobia, technically called glossophobia. One that I only learned about this week is phobophobia, the fear of other fears. If you have phobophobia, you probably just want me to move on with the sermon, which I will. But fear is a universal human experience, a universal human reaction to certain events, triggers, and things that happen in our life. Now, while we might not all suffer from particular phobias like the ones I've mentioned, I would suggest we would all be familiar with fear on some level. So were the disciples. Being Jesus' close followers, even his friends, even being part of his inner circle of colleagues, Peter, James, and John, did not seem to protect them, at least not entirely, from the presence of fear in their lives. Fear is something we have to face. All of us have to face. But of course, for Christians, fear is something we face with the help of God. And to face fear is not to minimize fear, it's not to ignore it, it's simply to acknowledge it and to start to live with it by the grace of God. So you know the account. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain where he's transfigured before them. His face shines like the sun, we're told. He's as white as the light. The curtain is pulled back. And for a moment, we get this glimpse of the glory, the divinity, the beauty of Jesus. And he's seen speaking to Moses and Elijah, showing this continuance of their ministry into his, the fulfillment and the promise that is to come. Peter acknowledges how good it is that they're there, and he's not wrong. And then he talks about wanting to build these three shelters to sort of set up camp on the mountain to kind of bask in the glory of this moment. But he's interrupted. He's interrupted, we're told, first by a cloud. You have to talk to Chloe Footner about her fine rendition of a cloud in Friday's chapel service. She'd be more than happy to tell you about it. Peter's voice is interrupted. It's interrupted by this cloud that comes and then by this voice that comes. "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And that seems to be the moment. The moment that blows them over. The moment that sees them cowering away in fear. So you've got the presence of God in the person of Jesus on one hand, and then you've got the voice of God speaking to them, and that seems, you know, it's a frightful thing. That combined with the vision of what's happening, it's a frightful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a leveling thing. It's an overwhelming thing, and it brings them to their knees. And of course, the voice of God does the same to us. Part of the reason for that is it exposes our other fears that we have. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of being shown up, fear of being found out. All these very natural human fears that we have. Something about the presence of God and the voice of God that brings them into a clearer or greater focus. As the writer of the Hebrews says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It can be overwhelming as we realize the gulf that exists between him and us. But it's such an important realization. If we're going to then see and witness the way God bridges that gap and overwhelms us with an entirely different thing, with his grace and his mercy and his peace. But until you see that gulf, as Peter and James and John did, and until you recognize that fearfulness to fall into the hands of the living God, then the next part just doesn't make sense. This is the next part. Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. No one. No Moses, no Elijah. You know, the brightness was gone, the cloud was gone, Peter had finally stopped talking for a moment, and their fear was gone, and it was just Jesus standing there with them. Now, we're not told in so many words that their fear was gone, but we can imagine how this gentle touch and this calm and encouraging word from their Lord and friend, Jesus Christ, would have had a remarkably soothing effect on these fearful disciples. I mean, they had just heard God say, "Listen to him." And the first thing he says to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." It's been said that when we fear God, we have nothing else to fear. When we humble ourselves, in other words, before God, God lifts us up. When we allow God to bring us to our knees, God is right there to pick us up from our knees and help us face whatever it is we must face. And to see our other fears in greater perspective, through the eyes of God, and therefore to face our future with greater confidence, encouraged and emboldened by our Lord. Now, we might think that we live in very uncertain times, culturally or socially or in the church. We might think we live with a very uncertain future, and in some ways we do. But Jesus and his disciples were about to go back down the mountain to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going there to die on a cross. That's what was coming up for Jesus. He knew that. He knew what lay ahead. The disciples knew a little bit. They could only handle it in little bits. But Jesus knew. But as he went back down the mountain, he was assured of some other things: that God loved him, that he was God's son, that God was pleased with him, that God would take care of him, that God would be with him. And so he stepped back down that mountain with the full knowledge of God and what was to come. We too, brothers and sisters in Christ, are dearly loved by God. We too are his sons and daughters through our baptism and our faith. We too are called to turn from our fears and feel that hand on our shoulders and listen to that voice in our ears, that calming, soothing, knowing voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's been said that we may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And because we know who holds the future, we can step forward into the future with confidence. We can step forward into the future with hope. Because our God is there. And his son Jesus is there. And they promise to never leave us nor forsake us, but to walk with us wherever we walk. Peter writes, "We didn't follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard the voice come from heaven. We were with him on the sacred mountain. We have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you," he says, "and you, well, you would do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to pay attention to you and what you say to us. Dispel the fears of our hearts and minds, whatever they may be, and you know them even better than we do. Dispel those fears. Forgive us for our failings, and lift us up again to face the future you have prepared for us with confidence and hope in you. Help us walk with you wherever you lead us. To the cross, to the empty grave and beyond. Give us trust to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.